Good near Shabbos, Parshas Pikudei, Parshas Chazak, finishing Sefer Shmos, hopefully to return every year. Just some very short ideas that I feel good I'd share. One of the things that are based on that there's an order of four Parshas, which are very special, namely Achodesh and Zachor and Para, opposite way, Shkalim, Zachor, Para and Achodesh. And this year, as in some years, there are breaks. The question is when you could have the breaks. And one of the possible times to have a break is between the first Shabbos and the second Shabbos. And that's why this week we're not reading a special Haftarah. I guess the person gets the last Aliyah, gets Chazak, so that's pretty special. And as far as there's no Haftarah for this. So some of the Tzaddikim explain that the four Parshas are a ascending ladder to ascend towards a Kadosh Baruch Hu and your complete connection to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, on the first Shabbos of Shkolim, it's the final Hey of Hashem's name, and then we connect to the Vav of Hashem's name, and then the first Hey of Hashem's name, and then finally to the Yud of Hashem's name, and we complete the circuit, and we're ready for Chodesh Nisan. That's how the system goes, according to some the Tzaddikim. And they say that why can you have a hafsek between the parsha, the first parsha and the second one? And that basically is indicative that there's a separation between the final hey and the yud, kei, and vav that preceded it. And that's that tension that is there between that final hey and the vav and the hey and the previous yud that is hopefully giving us this feeling of longing to reconnect. And that's part of the way that things work, is when there's this tension and distance, they want to reconnect, they want to bridge that gap, as it were. And that's why this Shabbos is that special Shabbos where we have the koach to bridge the gap. Now, how do we do that? And I thought it was very poignant. I heard from Rav Yitzchak David Grossman, the Rav of Migdal Emek, he said something very fascinating. He said that, first of all, there's a famous medrash that after the Chet HaEgel, Hashem said to Moshe, I want to destroy the Jewish people, and I want to start from you a new people, from you. And Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded, and then basically he asked Hashem, Hareini Nas Kvodecha, let me see your glory. This is a very strange thing. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to see Hashem's glory. He was already on Har Sinai. What is it he has to see Hashem's glory for? What does that mean? And Hashem says, well, you can't see my face, but you could see my acharai. You could see the back. And the Chazal say that means Hashem showed him the back of the knot of the tefillin in the back of the head. Now, what is that? What's the significance of that, being shown the back of the tefillin? And many, many ideas, beautiful Divrei Torah. But this one point seems so poignant to me, I had to share it. And he basically said that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that there's a certain inverse relationship Klal Yisrael has with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We have an art tefillin, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and Hashem also wears tefillin. And what's in Hashem's tefillin? Hashem's tefillin says, "Umi ka'amcha Yisrael goy achad ba'aretz." Who's like my nation, who's one people in the land. That means Hashem is praising our achdus. So, I think that if I understood correctly, that Rav Grossman was saying, Moshe Rabbeinu was asking Hashem, show me your kavod. And he wanted to see the tefillin shel rosh in the front. Because the tefillin are known as pe'er v'chavod. Hareini nas kvodecha, show me that your pe'er v'chavod. And Hashem said, I can't show you that, but I can show you my acharai. I can show you the knot. The knot shows that there's that bind and commitment. Even though you don't see the front, you don't see the place where the parshas are, you see the knot and the bond and the commitment. And so despite the fact that Hashem was upset with Klal Yisrael and wanted to destroy them, nonetheless, he was still wearing the tefillin that had this umikam chayisrael goyachad baretz, and that's how Moshe Rabbeinu was appeased by the situation. So I thought it was very important. And then I was thinking about it. I said, wait a second. What do we do? When we want to be connected to Kosh Baruch Hu, we want Geula. What are we supposed to be wanting for the Geula? Do we want to have a base of Mikdash for ourselves, so all our problems will be solved? Or do we want it for Kosh Baruch Hu? Because as it is right now, our dear darling, Kosh Baruch Hu, is homeless. So do we feel that he's missing something? So what's in our presence of mind? And that's why that maybe the achdus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is what we have to have on when we're wearing our tefillin. You know, when you're wearing your tefillin, you're not supposed to talk about anything except for davening and learning. Because it's all about Hashem. It's all about your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you think about something else, you're missing the point. You're talking about something else. That's almost a chilul, a desecration of your tefillin. Why the tefillin? Because the tefillin are called batim. And the batim are the place that we put on our heads that's like the base of Mikdash. That we're supposed to remind ourselves in our hearts and in our heads that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is one. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Nothing else matters. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu has that in his tefillin. And Moshe Rabbeinu, even though Hashem wanted to destroy us, he showed him that he's still wearing tefillin. That means he still has that parsha there, that he still wants us. And that's what we need to understand in our situation now, on the precipice of salvation. Some scary things look like they're about to happen, but we're on the verge of seeing the Geula. But where's our head? Is our head in things that are extraneous and not focused? Or is our head in Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? And so I thought that that was something that we need to hear. We need to know that when we wear our tefillin, and that could be that maybe something to get ourselves to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're ready for Mashiach, might be to put on our tefillin and not to talk anything separate from davening and learning. Maybe that Kabbalah would be something enough. Ah, but what about the ladies? So ladies, we know that there's two signs that we have, or three signs we have. The Bris Milah, that's not shaykh to the ladies. But we have Shabbos and Tefillin. The only thing that's shaykh to the ladies is Shabbos. So how are the ladies going to appreciate Shabbos? What do they do? So if some of the tzaddikim would not speak any divrei chol on Shabbos. They'd only speak tefillah, chizuk, and learning. So it could be that there's certain practical things you need to do, like, okay, we have time to clean up, things like that, but that's also part of a mitzvah. So maybe for the ladies, that on Shabbos they should be living like with the presence of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and to focus on learning of davening and mitzvahs and practical applications of how they should speak. Maybe that would be for them something to take upon themselves to show we're focusing on you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We want to be connected to you. And that might be, you will help us in this week's parsha, the parsha's Pekudei. Of course, there's a famous idea that's mentioned at the very beginning of the parsha. It says there were me'asa kikar, kikar la'ada, and there was 100 adonim made out of silver that was collected, and the whole entire Mishkan was supported by these adonim, these ginormous, it could have been, I don't know, a foot, amav achetzi, could be like, say, 3 feet wide by 2 feet deep, and like cinder blocks made out of silver with these big square holes in the middle for the bottom of the crushim to fit inside. Unbelievable stuff. The workmanship and what it did. But those adonim are what supported the whole entire Mishkan. And of course, adonim is a remez to 100 adonim, to 100 times a person would make a bracha a day, which is ideal. A person should make 100, at least 100 brachas. You could make more, but if a person makes 100 brachas, then there's a special mitzvah of the 7 mitzvahs derabanan. One of them is to make 100 brachas a day. And And if you daven three times a day, that helps a lot, but you still need to wash and bench and some other things to make sure you'll be mashlim 100 brachas a day. Kosh Baruch Hu should bless us that we should live our lives God presence, that we want to have that connection to Kosh Baruch Hu, that tension, that distance between the final hay and the Yud Kei Vav. We are that final hay, and want to be striving to reconnect, and we can reconnect if we take it upon ourselves, the men by the tefillin, not to speak anything that's extraneous, and 100 brachas, and of course for the ladies as well, the Kedusha of Shabbos. And if we do that all, then Be'ezrat Hashem will be zocha to see that every action we take, no matter how small it might seem, could bring us closer to that Bi'az Goel Tzedek, and we could see the Beis HaMikdash with HaKadosh Baruch Hu living in his home, and the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu harinin as kvodecha, and we'll see the front, as it were, of Hashem's tefillin with the Beis HaMikdash's. Amen. Have a wonderful Shabbos. I just want to say a little bit of the Achdus. So, Mikamcha Yisrael Goy Echad Ba'aretz. I live here in Telstone, and there's a very special Yid. His name is Alan Silver, and he runs the local hardware store. And he had this idea to give out candies to kids who come in to purchase things, or if they don't purchase things, if they would make a bracha, and have in mind a prisoner, a soldier, or somebody who needs some extra schus. So, amazing, I heard about it, and an Avei alumni, Yosef Mudderpearl from Tom's River, the famous Yosef Mudderpearl, and he saw that, and he says, you know what, I gotta get involved. It's such a beautiful thing. So he sent some money to, like, support Alan's things. And as I told him, I'll ask Alan what, you know, the conditions are, whatever. And so I spoke to Alan. Alan said, you know, really, ideally, like, I don't have to be the guy to do it. But I want everybody to put it in their own place of work or something. And everybody put a jar, candy jar, and, like, say, please make a bracha, and have in mind Yidden across the globe for whatever, whoever needs a merit. So I call up Yosef to tell him what Alan Silver wanted to do. And before I get a chance, he says, David, you know what? I was in the store the other day, and I was going to go to one section. I was going to go to the bakery goods section. And I went to the bakery goods section, and then I said, you know, I really should get some candies. I want to get those candies. I'll put it up in my store, and I'll put a little bowl of candies, and people will come and make a bracha, and we'll make that for everybody. It doesn't have to be in Israel. It could be everywhere. And as I'm going to the bagged candies and just starting to reach down, all of a sudden, on the speakers of the supermarket, the song starts playing, Macha bracha, macha bracha, avarcha shimcha, whatever it is. I don't know the whole song so well. And he stopped and said, thank you, Hashem. I got it, you know. I got the message. So now Yosef Mudderpearl of Tom's River is also giving out candies that people should make a bracha on the schus of somebody they don't even know. And that's Achdus of Klal Yisrael. That's Mika Amcha Yisrael Goyachad Ba'aretz. So that's also something we could do. It doesn't have to be Shabbos. Of course, we're out there. Keep Shabbos. Of course, it'd be beautiful to do all those other things I suggested. But this is something I thought was just beautiful to share. I just wanted to know that everybody could make an impact and hopefully bring more schusim to protect more people, to save more people, and to bring the Gula closer. B'mehir v'meinu, amen. Have a wonderful Shabbos.